The Lord be with you. We hold on to pain, but Jesus hands us peace. And to explain what I mean by that, I need to tell you how much I love Bidwell Park. Every day of my life in Chico, I am in Bidwell Park. On the best days of my life in Chico, I am in Upper Park because there's no better place to celebrate. And on the worst days of my life in Chico, I am in Upper Park because there's no better place to lose your stress than on its trails and in its creeks. This past summer, I took a sabbatical. I had a lot of free time. I spent every day that I could in Upper Park. And so when the park fire started, I'm going to give you one guess where I was. Upper Park. I was, to be more precise, I was about 1.5 miles upstream of where the fire started in the park, which meant there was no way for me to leave the park until firefighters came and created an exit route for me and several others to flee through. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in future weeks, but today I just want to say that was a traumatic experience for me, right? It was traumatic. Maybe less because I was afraid for my own personal safety, though I was, and more because of the grief I felt at the devastation caused to this place that I so deeply love, devastation caused by human hands. As I finally drove out on that day, I took my phone and made a video of what I saw as I drove, and I'm going to show it to you right now. Devastated as that looks, I will tell you now, is less than 9 months later. And yet, if you go up into the park right now, there are many parts of the park in which you would never guess it had burned at all. This is a picture I took of my dog 2 weeks ago in Upper Park. It's gorgeous. And yet I will tell you, there's a part of me that's deeply bothered by the fact that most people can't tell that the park burned. It bothers me. And I think I came to understand as I was reading John chapter 20 this week. You see, in John chapter 20, Jesus appears to the disciples after his resurrection. But they're not all there. There was one of them missing, and that's Thomas. And when the other disciples tell Thomas that they have seen the risen Lord, Thomas says, unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, and unless I put my finger in the marks of those nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Which is kind of an odd thing to say, right? I mean, if Thomas is concerned that there's some imposter pretending to be the risen Jesus, there are easier ways to ID Jesus than sticking your fingers in his wounds, yeah? I mean, you can do what the bank does, which is to ask, you know, what's your mom's maiden name? What street did you grow up on? But Thomas needs to touch Christ's wounds because for Thomas, it's less about making sure that Jesus is real and more about making sure that Jesus' suffering was real. When Thomas hears that Jesus is risen from the dead, Thomas wants to make sure that the crucifixion wasn't some practical joke, right? It's not an illusion of some prank that Jesus played on all of us. That matters to Thomas because when Jesus suffered and died on that cross, there was a part of Thomas that suffered and died with Jesus. All of us go through hardship and pain in our lives, and we want to know that it means something. And I realize what bothers me about people looking at the park and not realizing that it burned is I want what I experienced on that day, what so many others experienced on that day, I want it to matter. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we hear today that when Jesus returns, every eye will see him, even the eyes of those who pierced him, and on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. I want the arsonist who burned down our park to look at the park and wail at what he has done, just as the people who pierced Jesus will wail when they see him returning once more. And for that to happen, Jesus needs to remain pierced and the park needs to remain burned. And as I sit with that statement, I realize what I am saying is, I want the park to be burned so that I can burden someone with it. I want what I love to be wounded so that I can use that wound as a weapon. I want to hold on to that hurt so I can use my hurt to harm. And Jesus gives us that option. When Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection, he breathes the Holy Spirit out upon them and says, if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus gives us the power to hold on to the hurts that people have caused. But Jesus also says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And of those two options, to retain sins or to forgive them, Jesus chooses to forgive. Jesus' wounds, they don't only come from the soldiers who nailed him to the cross. His disciples also abandoned and denied him. His disciples, we read, are hiding in a locked room for fear of the Jews. Now, every time I say that, I have to clarify that in ancient Israel, there were different parts. There was the north, where Jesus and his disciples are from, Galilee, and they're called Galileans. And there's the south, where Jerusalem is, which is called Judea, and people from the south are called Jews. We think of Jesus and his disciples in the terms that we think of Jews today. They're all Jews. But within that nation, there's a big difference between northerners and southerners. We might know that in our own nation, yes? The disciples are saying, we're northerners down in the south, and we're scared of these southern folks. And so they have locked the door. They have given up on everything Jesus stands for, and that's got to hurt Jesus. But you know what Jesus does when he says, when he sees them for the first time after the resurrection? The very first words out of Jesus' mouth are peace. Peace be with you. And because he starts with that word of peace, when Jesus shows the disciples his wounds, they don't wail. Instead, they rejoice. Because Jesus shows his wounds not as a weapon, but as a source of wonder. Which is why after he shows his wounds to the disciples, again he says, "Peace be with you." And Thomas, who wasn't there that day to see it, who demands that he gets the same opportunity those other disciples did to see and touch Jesus' wounds. Well, when Jesus shows up to give Thomas what he wants, Jesus starts by once again saying, "Peace be with you." And then Jesus gives Thomas what he asks for. Jesus gives Thomas the opportunity to see and touch the wounds of Christ. And in that moment, Thomas believes. Thomas believes not only that this is in fact the same Jesus who was crucified, that Jesus is the one who is, who was, and who is to come, that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow, that he is our beginning and our end, the first letter of the alphabet and the last, which in Greek is the Alpha and the Omega. Thomas comes to believe all this, but he comes to believe even more. Because he sees in Jesus that Christ is hurt and yet somehow whole. He sees that Jesus is wounded and yet full of wonder. He sees that Jesus is pierced yet full of peace. And in seeing that, what Thomas says is, "My Lord and my God." Thomas is the first and only person in the Gospels to declare that Jesus is God. There are other people in the Gospels who say that Jesus is the Messiah, that say he is Lord, that say he is the Son of God, but it is Thomas alone who says that Jesus is God, because seeing Christ and his wounds, Thomas recognizes God. Thomas recognizes the one who receives our hurts and hands us wholeness. Thomas recognizes the one who receives our pain and gives us peace. Thomas recognizes the one who receives our death and gives us life. And that one is God. Friends, among the good news I heard on Easter was the good news that Green Gate and the 10 Mile Road in Upper Park have recently reopened. And so this past week, I went and I hiked along 10 Mile Road. And I'll tell you, what I saw were trees completely burned. I saw ash covering the ground. I saw the wounds of that fire. But what I also saw were wildflowers everywhere. More verdant and varied than I have ever seen in Upper Park, and I have brought some pictures to show you. As I walked, I noticed that through the ash, there was this life that kept popping up all over the place, and it turns out that in the cycle of a forest regenerating after a fire, the first thing to return are the wildflowers. They are the marker of rebirth. There will be a day when in Upper Park there is no more sign of the park fire. But until that day, in this moment, the park is burned, and yet it is beautiful. The park is burned, and yet it is abounding with life. And I realized as I walked through there that my soul had been pierced with pain and grief, and yet it had peace. Friends, our sins have consequences. Our sins have consequences for ourselves, for others, and even for Jesus. But you know what? We have a God who frees us from those sins. We hear in the book of Revelation that Jesus loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. He has done this in part so that we may be priests serving his God and his Father. To be a priest is to be someone who connects people to God through our offerings. That is what we are called to do. We live in a society in which we try to hide our hurts, in which we cover up our wounds. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus shows his wounds to his disciples, but he doesn't do that to make them a weapon. He doesn't hold on to his hurts in order to harm. What he does and what he invites us to do is to hold up the hurts of others, to retain sins, and then to forgive them. To hold up those hurts that we might be honest about the consequences of our sins, and that through such honesty to receive the healing and wholeness that comes only from God. And so as I walked through the park this past week, I realized that as a priest of the Christ who is pierced, what I truly want is for that arsonist to see the park right now as it is. I want him to see the consequences of his actions, but I also want him to see that there is a God who is greater than those actions. I want him to see that there is a God who can receive our hurt and give us wholeness, who can receive our pain and give us peace. I want him to see that there is a God who can receive our death and give us life. For the park, for its arsonist, and for each and every one of us. Amen.